Our God, hallelujah. I declare it tonight. I believe it, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are not children, hallelujah, but we are mighty men and women of God. We know who we are, hallelujah. The enemy's defeated, hallelujah. He has no authority in our lives. We are mature sons and daughters of God, hallelujah. We're not waved here and there, but we stand sure-footed, hallelujah. Not moved, hallelujah, by our circumstances or our situations, hallelujah. But we are mighty warriors in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We stand assured, hallelujah, with confidence, knowing, hallelujah, who we are. I thank you, Jesus. I pray for your spirit to quicken us, God. I pray to God, Lord, that we walk in all that you say, hallelujah, that we can walk in Jesus' name, hallelujah. If God says it, hallelujah, he's gonna do it, hallelujah. If God says it, hallelujah, you have the authority and power to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen, hallelujah. Come on. Bless somebody. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you guys know that the Holy Spirit, he's a lot of things to us, but one of the things he's spoken to be is our helper. Say, he's my helper. Say, he's my helper. Don't go without your helper. Hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. Hear me in the spirit tonight. Listen, so many times we rush into things without our helper. And I want you to hear the Spirit of God that, listen, he's our helper. We have helpers in our business as masons that they help me to build, hallelujah, that they give me everything that I need, hallelujah. They don't just do it, but they give it to me. They supply me with what I need to walk in, hallelujah. We walk in the Spirit, hallelujah. He gives me strength, hallelujah. I releases to me what I need to accomplish, amen. Everything that I need is in the Spirit, hallelujah. But he gives it to me. Come on, say he gives it to me. And I got to walk it in it. I got to walk in the reality that he's given to me, that I do not walk into things without him. I got to walk with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to walk in every situation. I got to walk in every problem. I got to be at that place wherever you're at. Be at that place and say, God, I ask you, God, use me in this situation. Use me. Come on. We're going to begin to do that. We're going to begin to declare in our lives that there's somebody that needs God to speak through your life, to speak into their life, to supply, hallelujah, what they need. The Holy Spirit has given it to you. He wants to use you to release it into somebody. You believe that tonight? I do. I do, hallelujah. I want to be like Philip, where that Philip was at a place where there was a eunuch that was, came to do some worshiping in Jerusalem. And I don't know the exact how it describes it, but he seen him in his chariot and God says, go to him. So he went to him. Amen. We got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. So he went to him, and when he got to him, he's reading Isaiah. He's reading the Bible, and he goes up to him and he says, hey, do you want to understand what that means? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there that are looking, hallelujah, for the understanding. And we come on. Listen. You get understanding by taking time to get a hold of it, to have a word, to release it to somebody. Amen? Listen, hear me. Listen, you have the Spirit of God within you. I got the answer for what you're looking for. He didn't even hear what it was about. Why? Because the Spirit of God's in you. Say, we got the answer. We got the, whatever comes my way, the answer's inside you. So listen, so he goes there, and this was a eunuch that he was a servant to the queen of Cush. And she had influence, it said. And he baptized him. He began to speak to him Jesus. He spoke to him Jesus. Come on, not his own little theory, not this, but he spoke and he gave him Jesus, and he baptized him, hallelujah, in the name of the Father and the Son. He was baptized and filled with the Spirit of God, and he went on, hallelujah, just that one person, amen. And then all of a sudden, guess what happened to Philip? he wasn't there anymore. He was disappeared. And they found him later on. He was in another city. Why? Because God had something for him to do. We can find things to time, space, and matter. God's not, listen, God's looking for some people that are obedient, that, come on, that don't think the unordinary. Amen? All right. Are you okay? Hallelujah. I just want to share, listen, we've been talking, these are kingdom principles that governs our homes. Last week we talked about Jesus is Lord of the home. And I gave you the descriptions of that, and that God said to Moses, he says, make me a sanctuary, hallelujah, that I can walk and I can talk with my people. I gave you guys the pattern, say a pattern. I want you guys to get this too, because something is, something that just, I'm just going to say it. Can I say it? All right, I'll go say it. Because listen, sometimes we got to understand these scriptures and understand it. Sometimes if you don't understand it, it's okay. But don't preach a sermon about it until you get the understanding about it. Now, sometimes we take something, we take it, and we begin to release it out of our flesh and not out of the spirit. And listen, when they were talking about it, he says, and all of a sudden, guess what? Heaven, say heaven. They were experiencing it on earth. The portal of heaven was being released in the earth. Where God is where God abodes. That's what heaven speaks of. So listen, so where the tabernacle was, that was heaven and earth. Right there. If you look and understand that the Jewish understanding of the tabernacle, the earth was the navel. It was the navel, hallelujah, the receptive place, and heaven was the portal to release it. So when they spoke about it, the children of Israel, those ones that were there, that when they began to speak about the kingdom of heaven, they began to speak about heaven and earth, they were talking about a place, say a place, that where they went to, it was the tabernacle. And Jesus says, I'm going to destroy it. What? You're going to destroy heaven? You're going to destroy earth? Because the outer court spoke of earth, and the holy place and the most holy place spoke about the heaven. Because we can understand that we are on the earth. Everybody, it was open to everybody. The outer court. But the other place was kept for God. Just like us, it was an example for them at that moment. They couldn't get outside earth. Heavens were a realm that they couldn't get to. Until Jesus. Say, until Jesus. And then from that point on, hallelujah, it wasn't a temple, but it was Christ was going to dwell in us. You okay? So that's what it meant. See, because Jesus, listen, I just want us to understand this, because this really makes it easier for us to get things. He says that, listen, that heaven and earth until, say, let me just give you this scripture. I didn't mean to go here, but I just, you all right? Let me just go here real quick. Can I go here? It's in Matthew. Did I write that down? Hang on. Matthew 5:18, I think. Matthew 5. Just can I just go here? Can you just for a second? All right? It says, for surely, he says, I say unto you, till heaven and earth, say until heaven and earth pass. One tittle or jot or one tittle. That's what it says. Shall no it no wise pass from the law till all be. Say, all be fulfilled. Now, unless, I just want to think, sometimes we've got to think it through. Say, think it through. He says the jot or tittle means every single line, dot, everything. You have to follow the law. That means sacrifices. Until heaven and earth pass away. Either we're doing it wrong, or heaven and earth passed away already. I want you to get this. See, to them, this is the understanding of the church at that time. They understood what heaven and earth meant. He was talking about something spiritual. It was where God wanted to abide on the earth. He brought heaven to earth. It was where God was, his presence was. So they recognized this tabernacle as being where heaven was, where that they could worship God together. Hallelujah. But he says, until, hallelujah, this. He says, heaven and earth pass until every jot of it shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I want you to hear this. Jesus fulfilled it. He was the sacrifice, the final sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice. Hallelujah. Listen, he fulfilled the law with himself. Every single law, every tittle, every jot, he fulfilled it all. Say, he did it all. He did it all so that I can have access. He tore down the veil that separated us from heaven. We couldn't get to heaven as a people. We're in the earth and it's someplace far off. But Jesus tore the veil down with his life. He was the veil that was torn so that we can enter in through him. He's the door that we enter in. What? The opening unto having God into our lives. That was a shotgun blast right there. Are you okay? So, listen. I mean, this is a lot to chew in a second, but I want us to get this because if that didn't happen, then we still got to be sacrificing lambs. I still got to be doing all the laws. Some people that still preach the law. Listen, I'm going to preach to you the law tonight, but like you've heard it before, but in the way that Jesus fulfilled it. Say, he gave me a new law. He gave me a new covenant. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible says that in Revelations, he says, I seen a new heaven and a new earth. All right. I won't get into all that, but let's get in this. Say, God's building a kingdom. And it takes principles, hallelujah, to govern the house. So listen, I want us to understand something that, there's been a disregard of the church, because of whatever it might be, because the church hasn't fulfilled or hasn't done the right thing. This is the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. I want you to get this. So, well, we don't need church. I can still serve God. I could do this. I could do that. Hallelujah. Say it's a lie. It's a lie, and you understand kingdom principle, you'll get it and know that, listen, I cannot be part of that lie. Listen, until, hallelujah, all the earth be filled with his glory, until we came to the fullness of maturity, hallelujah, this is the body, hallelujah, and we got to come together. So here's what it says, we got to get this. He says, so people disregard it, they throw it out with the bathwater. As soon as they're offended, what do they do with church? They throw it out. They have an excuse to say, well, it's just, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And now they're doing it with this too. I want you to hear this. They're doing it with the family. They're disregarding the importance. Listen, I want you to hear this. Listen, the church has failed people. Families have failed. Husbands and wives, children and parents, we have failed one another. But we got to hear the principle. We got to understand the principle of family. Hallelujah. We got to know the purpose of church and what God has for it. Because God, hallelujah, has a desire to have a family. We got to see this. There's a unique, somebody says that the system of the world is programmed and working to destroy the nucleus of a family. And its importance. I want you to go understand something that, listen, families fail. So do churches. But you got to take the principle that God laid out for that and walk in it. You might not have a husband or you might not have a wife, but that's okay. Still walk in the principle that God lays out. Your church might have failed you, but go walk back into it. Come on, amen. You might not have no natural family, but you got a spiritual family, hallelujah, with brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and grandparents. Come on, amen, that we can join together to lift one another out. Your family might not want you. They might not want to sit beside you, but I'm here to tell you that empty seat, let Jesus sit beside you. Is that good? Yeah. Okay, so 1 Chronicles, I got to get here. Because next week I want to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Are you okay? And what God, the intention is the gifts are important. All right. We got to know the gifts operate in maturity. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor we got to get a hold of some of these things. We got to get a hold of some of these things. We really do. Listen, can I get, yeah, somebody have, oh, I thought somebody yelled my name. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay. So here's the story. Here's the story, guys. Say it's about a family. You might not, listen. See, the church has tried to do their thing in their generation. And if we don't, as a church, realize it's about another generation. This thing ends without the next generation. Without those kids in those other rooms. Without those kids on Saturday in those classes. This stops. Because listen, God is about family. He's about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's generational. Hallelujah. We have to have a generational mentality. Can I tell you this? I felt this in my spirit all day. If I'm not mentoring somebody in this house, I'm missing it. Come on, every one of us. I got to find somebody, one person to mentor, to build up, to stir up and cheer up. Come on, amen. Start with your spouse. But listen, come on, somebody, come on, that you're accountable to, that you watch them, you look over them, that you're like a shepherd, you help them, not tell them what to do, but you're there for support, whatever they might need. I got your back. I got your back. Hallelujah. I'm going to help you through this thing. Then all of a sudden, something begins to grow, and it's called fruit. Fruit does not develop outside of maturity. It doesn't. Once it begins to receive that maturity, then guess what? It's ready to be picked. So, say it's generational. So here's David. He says David could not build the temple. The temple that God required him to build. He built him a partial. He's come on, amen. It was portable in a sense, but the final destination, the one that I'm talking about, that they were going to worship in Jerusalem. Come on, amen. This temple, it's Solomon's temple. Come on, amen. That was heaven on earth. It spoke of that. And David was not going to be able to build it. It was the next generation. Now here, there's a lot to that. I can't get into that tonight. But listen, I don't have time to get into why he couldn't build it. But he said, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build the house for a sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Say, be strong and do it. Let me jump up one. He says, for thou Solomon, verse 9, my son, this is David talking to his son. He says, thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart. Say, perfect heart. And with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts. He's looking for a heart, hallelujah, that beats like his heart. And we're going to see what that looks like. And he says, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, understandeth all imaginations. Uh-oh, say uh-oh. He says, of the thoughts, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the house of the Lord, a sanctuary, be strong and do it. Then David gave Solomon. Say, he gave Solomon. What did he give him? A pattern. Say, a pattern. Listen. It cannot be built outside of a pattern. In the same pattern he gave to Moses, come on, amen, he gave it to David for Solomon to build. God has a pattern for things. And the pattern of all that he had, by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers round about, the treasures of the house of God, the treasures that were dedicated to things, also the courts of the priests, and it goes on and on and on. And then in verse 29, furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, younger, tender, and work is great, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Here, listen. Listen, he prepared. This is why I mean to mentoring is so important. That what we have to give it to the next generation to build with. We got to give them a pattern, because if not, they're going to build it like the world. We got to give them Jesus. Come on, amen. We got to give them Jesus. We got to be that demonstration of who he is. Come on. We got to be the pattern, the full image of Jesus Christ. We can't leave nothing out. Come on, amen. We can't leave nothing out. So he gave him the gold that it took. He gave him the wood. He gave him the lumber, the nails, everything that he did. What happens is we are so concerned about our own thing that there's another generation dying because we're not giving them what they need to build a house for God. We got to build a house. We got to help them build the house for God to habitate in their life. You might have a place for God, but listen, there's a generation that's dying that needs to hear from Jesus from you. And you got the pattern. He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's within your life. He's within your life. He's the patterns within you. Come on, amen. We can't leave nothing out. This is why it's important. And I got to know what he looks like. I got to know the pattern. Tell someone it's not as hard as you think it is. Because we have the Spirit of God as a teacher to teach us. He's my tutor. Amen? So that build the principle, govern the house. It's love, mutual respect, and open communication. Now I want to help you with these. I want you to see this. Love is the principle that we build in. It's the pattern. It's the image. It's the likeness. It is who God is. The Bible says God is love. That's who he is. That's who he is. We want to know what God looks like. We're going to see this, the pattern. Say pattern of what he looks like. Come on, amen. We want to see what he looks like. Jesus was God in the flesh. He walked around, hallelujah. He was the demonstration of heaven on earth that for all to see. Come on, amen. It was the pattern of heaven. All right. So you have him in your life. You begin with the foundation. Now, I just want everybody to, this is some homework for you. Say, this is for you. Now for real quick for Saturday or for Saturday, I would love you guys just to take the time to try to read through Acts. Come on. And then don't stop, but keep letting Acts 29 be you. We know there's no Acts 29, but you. So listen, I want you to catch this. So this is, Ephesians. We can understand something in Ephesians. This is important. As you begin to look in Ephesians, you could begin to go all the way to Ephesians 4:17, and it begins to be a new way of thinking. And then in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, that we are to walk in love. Say, in love. And, but here, I want you to get this. We have a new way of thinking, and that's love. See, these are the top titles of each one of these. The first one in 4:17, it says that we are a new way of thinking. I got to repent. Say repent. I got to take hold of a new way of thinking. God's plans, because what I have built doesn't work. It doesn't work for my family. It doesn't work for my children. Come on. It doesn't work for my job place. It does not work. So I got to follow his pattern. So he begins. Here's the pattern. Love. I want you to walk in love. Say walk in love. I want you to walk in love. Hallelujah. Listen. And he says, and if you walk in love, he says, in the next verse, in 21, 5:21, it's for husbands and wives. And then in 6, it speaks of children and parents. And then in 6:5, it says servants and masters. That's speaking of your boss. That's speaking of your pastor. That's speaking of leaders maybe in a church. Come on, amen. I want you to get this. But there's a principle. There's something to follow. That we take these things, these principles, and bring them into our lives. Listen. And the last one, you ready for this? It's the armor of God. It's the armor of God. Hallelujah. For your family, for your church, for all that you walk in. So, okay, let's go here. 1 Corinthians 13. Are you all right? 1 Corinthians 13. All right. Real love won't let you or I have our own way. God wants to transform and conform us into His image. Real love will not let us have our own way. Real love will transform you and conform you into His image. And this is what His image is. Love is a person. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Say it's a person. Say it's a person. His name is what? Jesus. All right? He's described in vivid detail in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Here we go. You ready? It says, and though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I have my body to be burned, and if I have not love, and it speaks of charity, he said, because I want you to get this. The love, just real quick, listen. The love that we're talking here is God's love. See, the world has love, but it's not God's love. It's a piece of it because God loves the whole earth. So they're experiencing a portion of it, just like everybody's affected by God. Come on, amen. God's everywhere. Say He's everywhere. But I want to experience the fullness of it, hallelujah, the love that He talks about, and this is the difference. You ready? The love the world has is called phileo. Say phileo. That word means flesh. Phileo. The flesh. Flesh. But the love that He's talking about here, it's not just something He does. God just doesn't. He is. Agape. Say agape. He is agape. He is love. It's not what He does. It's who He is. It comes out of Him. He just oozes love. That's just who He is. He doesn't have to try to love. He is love. He just is love. And God wants you to represent that in all that you do. So here's an area of what God's love is, because we miss it. Because we understand what love is. As long as you do what I ask you to do, you love me. See, little children say that. We would manipulate our parents to get what we want. We will say what we need to say. Well, if you love me, you'd buy this for me. If you love me, you'd do this. See, but this is love. This is the new commandment. Say, this is the new commandment. That we love. So Jesus gave us, hallelujah, He says, turn around, I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you something that doesn't fail. See, your love in the flesh, it fails. But my love, released through my spirit, is life. It's eternal. It brings strength and it doesn't fail. All right, so let's get through these real quick. I just want to describe these real quick because the first one is, it suffers long. Say it suffers long. It's slow to lose its patience. Boy. If we reflect the opposite, if we reflect that, if we lose our patience, the teacher, the helper, is the Spirit, and He wants you to ask for help. The moment, this is what it means to pray continuously. Got to. See, because when we see the Word of God and we understand that, we know that, listen, man, I fail, man. I'm not patient, man. I'm not patient sometimes. I got married and found out I wasn't. I thought I had the gift, Mimsy. I thought I had the gift of patience. I thought I had that, man. Like I would be a saint someday. But I don't. Because I got married. And I learned that you cannot produce fruit without people. Almost every one of these you cannot produce without relationship, without fellowship. You okay? So listen. So it suffers long. It's slow to patience. It's kind. That means it's gentle and looks for a way to be constructive. See, being kind. See, listen. Every one of us, listen, we can have that. How do I be like Jesus? Be kind. Not the world's kind, but to be kind. Just when you're on the phone with somebody. Hey, how you doing? Sometimes I get through to some people, and some people that usually aren't very nice to most people are really nice because I interrupt their mood with kindness. I shove it down their throat. That's my wife. She's like, let me talk to this person on the phone. She's like, what? And I got through. I got my answer. Kindness. Listen. He says, envieth not. It never boils over with jealousy. It doesn't boil over with jealousy. Come on, the world is jealous. He says, it vaunteth not itself. What? It means it does not brag. It does not show itself off. Now I'm going to say this again. Say it doesn't brag. Come on. It doesn't produce a parade for itself. I do not have to tell you how great I am. If I do, I'm not. If I got to tell you all the time how great I am, I'm the one that might need to hear it, not you. I need to believe it. Listen, this is what, it's humble. What does Jesus look like? He laid aside. Come on, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He set it aside. He put his robes, come on, his crown, he set it aside, all of his glory, and he became as a man. In the filth of the earth, hallelujah. He walked among us. He humbled himself, hallelujah. That's the difference between our God and any other God, hallelujah. There's no other God, but I'm just using that expression that it's powerful because the other gods are that they speak of aren't like that. See, our God, he humbled himself. That's why it took the enemy off guard because it was nothing like he thought he would do. Fooled you. He put himself on the cross. That's not what a God should do. The true God, yes. He says, a brother lays himself down. He says, so, it is not puffed up. He says, does not have an inflated ego. It's not conceited. It does not cherish ideas of its own importance. Wow. It does not cherish and hold on to its own ideas. Listen, listen. I want you to hear this. This is powerful. I want us all to hear this. Listen, do you want to be free? Do you know what frees you more than anything else? Death. I just think about this today. When you're facing death, pride's out the window. Did you worry about what other people thought whenever you yelled Jesus? Those people that are headed to the gas chamber or to the electric chair, those tough guys or this or that, when they're facing death, man, they are scared. That pride is gone. They truly become free from whatever held them back, whatever that pride was, whatever that might be, it's death. So I want you to get this. We die and Christ lives. For me to die is for Christ to live. Come on, amen. For me to die to self, to my ego, to my pride, is truly to live. Unless I'm willing to let it die. Listen, in your marriage, come on, in your family, wherever that is, if I'm not willing to let some things go, my love for you, come on, amen, is more than me being right. Let me say it again. My love for you is greater than me being right about a situation. If it takes me to say, you know what? It's all right. That's dying of self. Is that good?
I like it.
So listen, it does not behave itself unseemingly. It's not rude. Say, don't be rude, dude. It seeketh not her own. It does not pursue selfish aims. It does not demand its own way. If I don't get it, I'm not going. Listen, that's selfish. Say it's selfish. Philippians 2:21 says this. It says, for all seek their own, not the things which of Christ. See, true love, come on, amen. It's not seeking. That's upside down. We are groomed to seek its own. Come on, we are born into sin. We are born from the moment you're born and you have something, you have this selfish tendency that you want that. I want that. You see the pictures of sometimes YouTube videos of little kids, you know, I love it when you see little kids. I don't love it. I mean, it's funny. You know what I'm saying? You see that bully get knocked out by a little other little brother, you know? I was that little brother. But listen, so you take its own. But listen, there was a guy, his name's Thomas Aquinas, his name was. And he was just a scholar. He was a great man of God. And he said this. He says, God, the soul of God, he has made man soul empty. See, our souls are empty. They're big. Listen. But they're empty. Because listen, it doesn't matter. They're empty. They're large. And they take a lot to get in them. And as much as you put them in, they're still empty. The only thing that fulfills a man is Christ. He made us that way. See, our souls, the only way that it can be filled is with the Spirit, with God Himself. Whew. So, you know what I mean by this? Because we are tuned to seek our own. And no matter what you get, listen, you get the baddest car in town. Guess what? The next guy beside you is going to get a better one. And you feel like you're all that, man. I got this, man. You feel like you're this or whatever that is. And there's always someone that got it better or can say it better or could do it better or could sing it better or shout it better. Whatever it might be, it'll never fulfill you. Only Jesus. See, it's upside down. We're always looking to be filled. The soul cannot be filled. It's empty. Only with God. Come on, amen? So listen. It's empty, but it contains everything. There. Okay. So it's not easily provoked. It's not touchy. It's not quick to take offense. None of you are looking at me. Because that's us sometimes, ain't it? Come on, I mean, we're all that way sometimes. Sometimes we're touchy. Man, you know what I mean? Sometimes we're touchy. Thinks no evil. It takes inventory and keeps no score. It takes no inventory and keeps no score. It doesn't hold back a backlog of all this, but you remember when you did this 6 years ago on the fifth month of the year, on the second day? See, love does not take an account wrong. It's not naive. It's not naive. Come on, amen. It's not naive by any means, but it doesn't store them. Thank God. Say thank God. How many of you guys want God to take our sins and cast them away and not remember them no more? I sure do. There's some things, man, that I did years ago. Come on, amen, Dale. That listen, they weren't right. I thank God that he doesn't backlog them. I am as pure and holy in his eyes as I'll ever be. Even if I do some amazing things from this moment on, it doesn't matter. His love never changes. Are you okay? So here, let me get through this. Takes no inventory, no score. He says, does not hold grudges. It means it won't harbor evil thoughts. Rejoices not in iniquity. It means does not gloat at other man's failures. It never is glad when others go wrong. That's the world. We love to watch those shows that we see people that fail. Those are successful shows. Those gossip shows. Come on, amen. The most liked sometimes on is when you see somebody. Oh, yeah, did you see that? It's just our tendency in the world, but that's not our image. Come on, that's not who we are. Come on, amen. We need to be at that place. If you feel that way, you need to pray. That's why. Why does it say that we pray all? It means I got to be in prayer. I got to be in prayer because these things, when these come my way, I'm acting like these things sometimes. And I got to, hallelujah. So God wants me to, because if God asks me to do it, I can do it. He will never ask you to do anything that you can't do through His Spirit. Because with God, with God, all things are possible. I can love, hallelujah. I can love, not hold iniquity, not hold sins, not do this, not brag, not this, not that. I can do it. Say, I can do it. I can do it. Does not gloat. Rejoices in truth. It means joyfully sides with truth. Here's what it does. You know what? You know how much better it'd be? Because you got it in church. You got it. It just comes. Because we're still flesh. So what happens is it rejoices in truth. It rejoices in truth. So what you hear, hear me tonight. If I hear my brother say, man, I'm just a dirt bag. I need to rejoice with him in truth. No. Man, you're awesome, man. You're a great man of God. This is what God did for you. This is what makes you worthy. This is what makes you holy. This is it. We begin to rejoice in truth. We don't rejoice with them in the negative. Come on, sabotage their train. A whoa, whoa, whoa. And rejoice in the truth. Don't get in a gloom. Yeah, wait, that's what I meant to say. Disrupt their party, their boohoo party, whatever we want to call it. Listen, my wife disrupts mine. Listen, sometimes I'm like, oh man, sometimes I see, come on, just like you, come on, just like, I'm no different, I'm just like you guys, things come my way, and listen, we are meant to be with each other to disrupt our pity party trains, that's it, I got it, our pity parties, come on, that party that we're trying to put on, and we want others to join me, come on, celebrate my, I'm worthless, oh, I'm not going to rejoice in that. No, that's not who you are. It doesn't mean that other people don't go through things, you don't mourn with them. But I'm saying, listen, we do not, that the thing, if it's not truth, I do not rejoice in it. If they feel defeated and they talk about no hope, I'm not going to get on that wagon. Come on, amen. But I'm going to get on the glory train. Boy, I'm on that right now. Just trying to make a point. I just couldn't get it the way I wanted to get it. He bears all things. Say, beareth all things. It means to bears up under anything. Wow, it bears up under anything that is weak. Listen, I'm weak in some areas. And that love gets in that areas and lifts me up. If I got a brother or sister that it's a weak vessel, hallelujah, I don't expose it, but I need to bear it up.
I need to lift it up.
So come on, amen. Listen, I want you to hear this. Listen, I don't want to go back to this for a second because the facts are, say the facts are, that person might be acting like the worst person in the world, but I'm not going to believe that, that's who they really are.
Okay. This is helping me. Bears all things. There was a friend, there was a priest in during the Renaissance era, and his name was Francis. And this priest began start a movement, and it was because the Catholic Church was doing these rituals, doing all kinds of things, and they were just not moving the way that they really felt the Spirit of God moving at this time. And he stood up and he began to say, no. He says, no, we can't do this. And he began to start a movement, and the movement became the Franciscan movement. Franciscan monks. You know what I mean? They were standing up for holiness and righteousness that is through Christ and this and that. And on his dying bed, they said, how do we carry this on? How do we carry this on? He said, preach always. And if you have to, use words. He said, preach always. And if you have to, use words. It meant not everybody's going to read the word. But you preach it through your lives. See, the word of God, it's more than just words. There's a lot of politicians that got words that might move you. But I'm going to tell you something. Actions move people. If it's not coming out of your life, the action, no one will follow. Come on, amen? Come on, hallelujah. It says love... It no, love, no, that word bears all things. It says, it knows no limits to its endurance. It covers all things. All things. Do you remember the picture? Remember the picture of the ark and the tabernacle? Remember there was a covering over it. He covers all things. And in that place is where, in that place was they were brought to him the sins. To that place. And he covers them. He covers them with his blood, but there's a symbolic where that they were covered. Took them. Hallelujah. He covers over them. He blots them out. Hallelujah. That which was his blood red makes it white as snow. Come on, amen. He removes it. Say he removes it. He says, believes all things. That means unquenchable faith, eager to believe the best. Eager, desperate to believe the best in one another. Hopeth all things. It keeps hope in everything. It keeps hope in everything. That's what love does. It keeps hope. Keep hope alive. Listen, he keeps hope in everything. You have everything that's here is in you through Christ. You got to let it work out of you. How do I let it work out of you? By this, by loving, by enduring. By going through that thing, keeping hope alive in the midst, hallelujah. When everybody else doesn't believe, hallelujah, that we say, you know what, I'm going to believe. It doesn't mean I'm going to open my wallet up and give you all my money and you're going to keep using me. No, no, I'm not talking about that, but I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to give you what you need. You don't give me that. Hear me, you guys with me? Y'all with me? But it means I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you, hallelujah. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you what lasts forever, hallelujah. What's eternal, amen? Am I making sense? All right, he says, he hopeth all things. He endures all things. That means he abides, does not flee, or recedes. This love does not recede. In the midst of a battle, doesn't run. It doesn't just flee. It doesn't even recede.
What does that mean?
It don't flinch. You can't take it off God. You can't remove me from the love that I have for you. Come on, and you can't take it from me. Amen? Come on, I won't step back from it. I'm going to keep letting it go into your life. I'm going to keep releasing it into your life. That's what the world is looking for. Come on, amen? They're looking for a church, our homes, our children. They're looking for that love. Is that good?
Yes,
listen, and the last one is this. Now, love never fails. It never comes to an end. It does not have an expiration date. The Bible says love always. Love always. Always. Man, I wish sometimes there's things like rejoice always. Like I wish there was an expiration sometimes on that where that sometimes I could jump on that pity party train. Listen. It's the personality of God. That is right there. You can look that up in the Amplified. You can look it up in NIV. The King James, like I said, I read it from that part, but I gave you the definitions of, you know, it's harder to see that, but you'll see it. You'll understand that. Amen? The personality of God, it flows from authority of the throne room of God. Love. So when you love like that, it's flowing from the authority of God, from the throne room of God. Do you know what was in the holy, most holy place? A love seat. The mercy seat. The throne room of God. And from that place flows love. Jesus was a release that flowed from the throne room to us. Touched the earth. That was love. The expression of the Father. This is what the Father looks like. When you see me, you see the Father. He loves the less land. He loves the broken. Hallelujah. He loves those that are hurting. He loves the misfits. Those ones that come on, amen, that are the less land. Hallelujah. All right. You okay? Let me get through here. 5 minutes. Go, play some music. Give me going. Give me done. Do you know what works? You know what works? Listen. You know, I made some mistakes sometimes with my daughter. And sometimes I didn't let love lead me. Hear me. Even though something was bad for her, the way that I approached her is important. The church has missed this. We know what's good for you. Just do this. See, but if my daughter, there's times when my daughter may be doing something wrong, she has something, say if she had a knife in her hand. If I was in the other room and she's holding on to that, if I run at her yelling, she's going to freak out. I mean, it's going to scare her. It's going to. But if I approach her and go up to her and I take that knife, say, honey, listen. This could hurt you. She lets it go. Instead of turning around and running with it. See, love, the approaching is so important. We don't approach people and say, you know what? Man, you know what? You're a sinner. You're not. You're a dirtbag. That's what the church does. They walk up to people. Listen, when I was in the world, I knew I was a dirtbag. I knew how bad I was. I knew what kind of a sinner. I knew what I was doing. You don't have to tell me. I just want you to love me. Listen. See, God did not come to condemn the world. But His love showed us the way. His love led the way to this love. A love that's willing to die. God says, listen, if you want to love this way, you have to die. For this to work, it has to die. You have to die. You have to let some things go. Pride, you have to issues, egos, this and that, whatever you want for you, let it go. Let it die. Make way for me. Make way for me. Make way for me. We have borne the image of the earthly. Let us now put on and wear the image of the heavenly. Whatever we want. See, listen. I wrote this down. The carnal, the earth realm, the phileo. Its concept of love is one that allows him to do whatever he wants, whenever, and to whosoever. See, the world's way. I'll do whatever I want, hurt whoever I want to, whenever I want to. No, that's not this love. This love tells me to love those who don't like you. To learn to love those, because here's why. In the midst of that, all of a sudden something breaks inside you. That pride, that ego, whatever, that breaks inside you. Hallelujah. When you love, it's easy to love those that you're with. It's easy to love them, but those that don't look like you, those ones that aren't perfect like you, that's what love I'm talking about. That's what love. So listen, as I'm done, it says, but to know no man after the flesh, it's not discriminating. It's not racial. It's not sexual, man or woman. It doesn't favor one or the other. It's not chronological, God's love. It does not affect age. You know, whether you're young or whether you're old, His love's the same. Not geographical areas. People in Jerusalem, God does not love more than you. Do you hear me? No. You're not a stepchild. You're a son and a daughter of God. I'm not second class. I'm first class. I become part of Abraham's seed through Jesus Christ. It's not educational. You could have no education, no theological degree. It will not affect that. It's not financial. See, this love does not. In this church, we do not love those who give more or those who give less. We love you all the same. Will not do that. Let me be judged. If you see different, come and judge me. We do not love those that give more, those that don't. I try not even to look at the money of who does what. When it comes to leaders, it's important, though, to be part of that. Listen, because there's an accountability. It's not about physical appearance. Whether you're short, whether you're tall, whether this or that. It's not denominational. See, God does not love this church greater than that church. God loves a church that's willing to listen. I don't care what church it is. Whew. There was a movement in the 70s in the Catholic Church. And everybody says, there's no way that's God. It was God. My dad was part of it. He was down there with the nuns in Elwood City. People being filled with the Holy Spirit on Sunday nights. It's not a denomination. I need to get that out of my mind. God's willing to use whoever. It's not ministerial. It does not matter about the preacher or whether it's the doorkeeper. And it's not doctrinal. I can never forget where my roots are. I cannot cut ties to my roots and my doctrinal beliefs when I was younger. The understanding of that, the simplicity of things. I cannot cut ties from that. We as a church can't do that. We can't disregard doctrinal that way, but we got to take it together and bring it all together. Hallelujah. That's what happens. And after that, when you just get a doctrine, you build a denomination on it. And God steps out of it. But we build from our doctrine. We build from our understanding of who He is. Thereupon, hereupon, we build upon it. My understanding of God. I begin to walk it out. And I begin to ask everybody to come with me. Might not be in the deep end, but I'm going to keep coming back to the shallow until you jump in with me. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet?
Can I say something as I finish this? You know who I was always? I was a fighter when I was younger. Derek knows some of my fights. Not proud of all of them. But you know who I was always afraid to fight? That person that had nothing to lose. Man, if I knew that kid didn't have nothing to lose, I'd walk away. If he wasn't intimidated by me, if he wasn't fearful, I would say, he has nothing to lose. I could beat him to a pulp. You know, keep coming back to me. See, when you got nothing to lose because you're dead. See, listen, those disciples that sacrificed their life, they had nothing to lose. You know why? Because they had nothing. I have nothing. Nothing. One thing I desire. One thing. Him. My pride is gone. My selfishness is gone. My arrogance is gone. All these things, I have nothing to lose. See, the devil does not want you to be there. You're dangerous. He will not pick a fight with people that have nothing to lose. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. We cherish your word, God. God, Lord, we are here. Hallelujah. God, Lord, you've given us the outer court. But God, Lord, we're not just to build a denominational in that place. But God, Lord, we're to step on to, hallelujah, to the holy place. And to go beyond that because you tore the veil down so that I can enter in to the most holy place. That I could step into the deep places. That I can walk out this love. Hallelujah. That this love can be my reality. This love that steps is in the most holy place. This love. Love, hallelujah, that is in the most holy place. I can walk it out because you have called me to that place. Each one of us, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Mentor somebody, bring somebody, hallelujah, amen.